Okay, it's a little bit more noisy because the city's waking up. But this is my part two on sinners, and this message is specifically for those who have been on the porch, Vanguard Mystery School, and all our little secret society conjuring groups. This is for people who have come to stay with me at the church in Florida. Again, church in quotations. And the women who have come, who came to Oklahoma for the gathering. And not even, I don't know if anyone in Oklahoma who has come and spent time with me on some random shit at the compound will ever listen to this, but some of the guys that would show up on my porch, who with the most random of the most random stories and situations or whatever, right? But I want you to take a moment and think about some of your favorite and funniest moments on the porch. Think of moments when we have been in fellowship, either the two of us or with others at the church, where something was unlocked through play and laughter, or watching someone how. So, for those of you who don't know, when I moved to Florida, I ended up living in this old church or whatever, but I ended up buying and acquiring a shit ton of bicycles. So, I have always rode in a bicycle. And Florida is a place where pretty much everyone rides a bike, and bikes are easy to come by. So I just ended up with all these bicycles. And so I was like, look, people come to visit. I'm not gonna not ride my bicycle, but at the same time, I want people to have that experience of what it's like. Because most people get on a bicycle and then I'm working out, I'm on a mission, I don't know how to cruise and just go wherever. Like when you were a kid, like getting your first bicycle was almost like your first taste of freedom. I tell this story of how we forget of how our freedom grew over time. So you grow up, and if you were like us and had a yard with a fence, you can go outside, but you can't go on the other side of the fence. And then you get a little bit older, or you prove you're responsible enough, and then you can maybe go a couple of houses down. And then your parents trust you to go down the block. And then they trust you to, with your friends to go and play with friends on the next block. And then they trust you to be able to get on your bicycles and go to the next neighborhood and play with that crew or whatever, right? And then you get older, you get your keys to your car or whatever, your bus pass, and then you start to have these moments of freedom and sovereignty or whatever. But at some point, for most people, it kind of stops at adulthood or whatever, right? I'm always looking behind the next door and the what's that next little invisible boundary? Someone doesn't have to give it to me. I know that there's always another quote unquote boundary or border somewhere that I can step up to explore and decide on if I want to go further. But many of us get stuck on our block, on our stoop. It's a mindset. And I always tell people this. People be running around praying for freedom and begging for freedom. And I'm like, yo, that shit has to start in your head first, because someone can give you all the freedoms. But if you're in your head, you don't carry your own key, you're fucked. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You can put an animal in a cage and raise an animal in a cage and open that cage, unlock the door on the cage, open the door on the cage, but that animal may never leave the cage. I think that, what is that, the allegory of the cave or something like that? So, but just think of the belly laughs, the moment when we're laughing at ourselves, we're laughing at each other, we're not caring what we're wearing, how we're dressed. Think back to the moments we had when everyone was in Oklahoma. And at first, the first couple of days, people were still trying to iron clothes and do all of this and get up in the morning and take a shower. And a couple of us was like, yeah, let's, that shit is about to go out the window in no time. People have gotten mad at me when they came to, it typically started like this. People would reach out and be like, yo, I need some healing, Courtney. Can I come and stay with you for a while? And I'd be like, listen, sure. Two things are going to happen. You need to make friends with your shadow, because if you don't make friends with your shadow, I'm going to befriend your shadow and you are going to be mad at me. So there's that. The second rule is you come and do what you need to do for yourself. You can't do what I do because I've done all of this already. So how I spend my days, my hours or whatever, you can't do that with me. And no, I'm not going to show you all around. You go and you'll have your moment of, aha, this is what I needed. And then we can sit down and have some deep conversations and explore together or whatever and revisit certain things, because you'll have the ability to see things with a new eye. And a lot of times seeing things with a new eye is really seeing it for the first time. Because again, it goes back to mindset. And I always use the scene in the movie Apocalypto when the shaman go out to the water and they can't see the ship because they've never seen it. But they see the variation in the ripples to know that something is interrupting the pattern of the ripples, right? So I wait for that moment when people can see the ship, and then it's like, oh, okay, now we know what to do with this. Because I can point something out, but until someone has removed that veil, they'll never see it. And even some people will sit there and act like they understand what I'm saying. But for those of us who have been fortunate and blessed enough and trusted enough by the universe to see people have a moment of awakening, you know what I'm saying when you see something in their eyes changes. There's a flicker. There is just, I don't know, I can't explain it. And maybe I'm saying see, but it's something that I feel where, and it's not a one-time thing. And that's the other thing that I don't think people understand. I still have moments of where I'm like, yo, I see things differently. And I feel things on a deeper level. And it doesn't always just have to, sometimes it's humorous. A lot of times it's humorous. It's just laughing at something in a different way of like a true resonance. Like, yo, I felt that. I'm being moved to share a story with you. There's something that happened here in Brazil to me the first couple of days I was here. And I've only shared the story with two people, I think. I was at the beach one morning, just finding some quiet time and having some coffee. And getting the coffee was an adventure in itself. I get to the beach or whatever, and I'm going to come back and tell this story because it's deep. But anyway, this guy ends up washing my feet, and that shit just brought me to tears. And I called my friend B and I told her, I was like, that's honest work. That's honest fucking work. Like I said, I'll come back and I'll tell that story because I didn't have that in my notes. But just moments of where you feel like you are reborn again, literally like born again. And even for those who are Christian and go to church and get baptized, you have these moments where someone gets baptized once and then that's like it, right? We have opportunities around us all the time to be baptized. And I'm not talking about like baptized because out of obligation or out of, because you're of age and your mom and dad tell you that it's time for you to be baptized. I mean, where you literally feel it like I'm fucking ready, right? There have been on several occasions here where I have asked a couple of people about why they decided not to continue their path in Candomblé. And they have shared with me that they felt that they weren't ready. Listen, I have never had anyone in the States tell me that they put a pause on something because they weren't ready, because they weren't disciplined enough, because they had felt like they hadn't seen and experienced enough things, that they knew that if they continued to go down a path and in a certain direction, that their life would be different, right? I feel like, and again, I'm speaking generally, but again, I'm 50, so I've seen some shit. I'm 50, not only am I 50, but I'm 50 and I'm traveled and have had many lived experiences. And I think with a lot of Americans, there's this idea of power based around either I'm going to do this because it's going to make me more powerful, and because I've been oppressed all this time, I'm going to get this degree, I'm going to get this knowledge, I'm going to get this certification, I'm going to take this initiation, I'm going to take this title to either make right the wrongs that have been done against me or my people. You know, it's extremism causes more extremism, right? I've never met someone else who said I wasn't ready. Just because you can pay for it and get it doesn't mean that you're necessarily ready for it, right? And so think of those moments when you've spent time with me, or like you've come to the, you know, you came to the church and I didn't give you an iron or a steamer or something like that, or I told you, fuck that bra. No, you're gonna wear that wrinkled shirt, you're gonna wear them shorts, you're gonna wear them loafers, like fucking relax. Like, what the fuck did you come here for? Like, you told me you came here for this, but now you're still bringing that bullshit that you say that you have exhausted all of your emotional capacity and resilience for. You're still bringing that shit with you here. So sometimes I have to be the bad guy and tell people, no, knowing damn well I know where the iron is, right? And I'm thinking of a few people in particular who like literally showed up at my door with this false, like, oh, I can't go do this. I remember, and I quote, if he listens to this, he'll know I won't name any names, but I remember he came and we were going out that night with another friend, and we were going to the main strip, and he was like, oh, I can't wear this. Oh, y'all got me out here in these streets. If my people saw what I was wearing going out, I'm looking, I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? One, it's 75 degrees outside. Two, you're in a beach town. Like, you were messing with the wrong person if you think that this shit is gonna impress me, right? Because I'm feeling your spirit. You don't even wanna be wearing that shit in the first place, but you just don't have the courage to tell everybody to fuck off. Or you don't have the confidence yet to believe that you can still have an impression upon people regardless of what you're wearing. Like the emperor's new clothes, right? So think of those moments where you felt alive again. This is like the movie Sinners. But not everyone can do that for us. Not all of us can do that for ourselves or whatever. This is why I say I'm a catalyst. On my site, I think it's hold that vibe. No, it might be CourtneyCrossland.com. I don't know. Courtney.holdthatvibration.com. And on the very first page, it says that I'm a catalyst, that I get paid to make people either laugh or cry. And that shit is so true. Because I know what I'm here for. It doesn't matter. I just need to get an emotion from someone to make you feel like you're alive again, because sometimes either laughter is generated from some manufactured thing, or an emotion of sadness is generated from some tragedy or whatever, right? So then it just becomes another automated, artificial thing again, right? But to have someone that you love so dearly and you trust so much to be able to generate a laugh from you based off of something that you have only kept secret in your own head and maybe have been ashamed to be judged by others because you think it's funny, because it's inappropriate, or to be sad about something but not be able to verbally articulate it, or to not feel vulnerable enough to say it. This is why sometimes we come across paths with people who are true energy readers. Not just psychic, but energy readers. And those of us who have like honed our craft, right? Practiced and studied, realize that I don't have to give you the words. I don't have to articulate what I'm picking up about you and put it into a sentence and turn it into a fucking think piece or a reading or anything. Just be the energy, and in a roundabout way, let that person know, I see you, I feel you. You're safe here with me. And again, when I use the word safety, it doesn't mean that that's going to make you always feel comfortable and not be mad at me, but you're going to be safe. The joke with tribe for me is, did you die though? I'm going to take you to the precipice. And if you get close enough to the cliff, I'm going to push you off the cliff. And if you have sense enough, or if you're lucky enough to be able to grab the edge of the cliff, I'm going to step on your fingers so that you jump, because when you jump, the net appears. And I know a lot of y'all have not heard me say this in quite some time, but I am not going to push you unless I know that I can catch you. And I know some people take that, unless you've worked with me, you don't understand that. But trust me, I'm not going to push anyone past the point of what I know that you can handle. It's true, been a true shadow worker, right? Because sometimes that means that we knowingly know that we're going to be the bad guy. And then people come back around sometimes, even after they get pissed off at me, and they're like, yo, thank you for that moment. Thank you for taking me to the brink. I don't understand your methods, but thank you. So for others, if you remember my talks, and this makes me think of the movie when they were in the juke joint, right? And everybody got cleaned up and they went to the juke joint. And I was like, yo, shadow work. People get so deep about the twins things. And I'm like, no, that's our light and our dark and our shadow and our trickster energy. And I'll get into, for some of y'all, I remember the Detroit life of mine and having and working with the Baba and being told that, you know, Oya and Eshu is my Ori, right? My crown, but I digress. But let's just talk about Eshu, right? The trickster energy. And it's always been interesting because since then I've learned about human design and gene keys and other modalities. And in all of them, the reading for how I'm energetically wired has been very similar to that initial moment when someone threw some shells for me and was like, yo, you carry trickster energy. I do. And it's like, I call it the 7-year-old Courtney, right? And if you remember my talks about shadow work, people think my shadow work is when I'm being 7-year-old little playful, devious Courtney. No, my shadow is when I get dressed up, when I get cute, when I do my nails and I do my hair and might actually iron some clothes and put some shoes on and put a bra on and all that shit, because that means I'm about to hurt somebody's feelings. That means I'm about to literally hurt somebody's feelings, because I am comfortable in who I am, dirty, dusty, hairy, whatever it may be. Because my energy is going to speak louder than what's on the outside. But when I dress up the outside to match the inside, to match my energy, I'm going to piss some people off even more. Because literally, I'd be having people look at me and tell me, be like, yo, like, why is she so lucky? Why does she get what she get? I mean, part of that is being a Sagittarian and Jupiter and all of that shit or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, and again, a lot of people don't want to talk about the fact of those like myself. You literally have people who want to sabotage you because they just don't understand. And again, this ain't about me. I didn't. If you believe in God, why are you mad at people like me and myself? We were put here to do a certain thing. I don't need to get dressed up to have a good time with myself or anything like that. But when I do, and I'm intentionally doing it, that means I'm about to play and I'm about to have a good fucking time. In closing, so I was sharing with my Brazilian friend here that I was going to go see the movie, and I was inviting her over to another friend's house to come and watch it with us or whatever. She said that she had already seen it, and she said that when they watched it, they laughed through the whole movie. They thought it was so funny. Now, she is what Brazilians would consider a white Brazilian, consider white again. But in America, listen, it's complicated. Y'all be comparing apples to oranges. Brazilian colorism is different than American colorism. Long story short, if she was in America, she would definitely not pass for white, and she wouldn't even pass for white Puerto Rican or white Cuban. But here she would be considered white. Anyway, when she told me that they laughed through the whole movie, I was kind of offended, because again, I had read all these deep ass think pieces about the movie and this and that or whatever, right? And so after I watched it, I was like, thought about it. And I woke up this morning and I said, oh, I get it. Because it's like this energy of life. It's not even a Brazilian, it's not Portuguese, but I think it's like, they use it mostly in like Costa Rica. Pura la vida. Am I saying that correctly? Excuse me if I'm not, but it's like the essence, living in life. And that is like the energetic blueprint of here. There is this very lightheartedness, energy. And I feel like it's even more so in the land. And what's interesting is like, all my life people have told me that I was weird. But then I get here and I'm like, yo, these are my people. I'm not weird at all. I just was not in the right place energetically. So I thought about it before I did this video, and I was thinking, and I said, oh, I can see why the universe moved me, because, or made my move very easy, opened so many doors to make it possible for me to have this experience, is because the frequency, the energetic frequency of that land we call the United States. And for those of you who know me, know I don't use the term like low vibrational and all of that shit or whatever, but it's a very low vibrational energy in comparison to what I feel here. And low vibrational does not mean negative or doesn't have anything to do with politics. And it's something I can't really explain. And maybe the only way I could possibly explain it is to have other, specifically Black American immigrants, expats, whatever fucking people on the internet want to call us right now, whatever, because we're not really worried about it. We're just living our lives right now. We ain't arguing with people on whether or not you think we're an expat or whether or not you think we're an immigrant. Listen, and the energy that I feel around when I'm around them, it's something that I can't explain. There's just deep peace and a level of safety. And just even those that I have crossed paths with, just quote unquote randomly, who have said, oh my God, like, I didn't know what to expect when I got here, but this place is amazing. It's the feeling of the land. And I don't know which came first, if it's the energy of the people that's activating the land, or if it's the land that's activating the people. I feel like it has more to do with the land itself. And yes, Brazil has its, you know, historical shit or whatever, but there are energetic blueprints, meridians, and things of that nature. And I'm going to end with When you leave the airport, when you arrive here, one of the things that surprised me the most is that people who have talked about the state, Bahia, that they have all of these, thoughts on Bahia, whatever, but I've never seen anyone talk about the bamboos that you have to drive through to leave the airport. Because it literally feels like you're entering a different world, like you're going through this portal. And that was the one that I should have known then at that moment, because when they came to get me and were leaving the airport, I was like, oh my gosh. And then you go through these amazing, this bamboo canopy that covers the road. And when you come out, my first thought was, yo, did I leave America? Because it felt like I was in Brooklyn, like that I was back in Brooklyn, like JFK area, LaGuardia, because it has a feel, a vibe like Brooklyn, but also the Bay Area, but that's a whole nother discussion. But yeah, just remember those moments where you felt alive again, where your inner child felt healed.